Ayo is here to bring you ideas, and I will be discussing the integrity pressure points in Nigeria's electoral process and how they are being addressed. Ayobi is joining me over the phone. Hi, Ayo, good evening.
Hi, good evening, Sandra.
Good to have you here.
Surprise. Thank you.
What do we mean by integrity in the electoral process?
Well, I think essentially what we're looking for when we talk about integrity in the electoral process is whether the procedures in place can guarantee that only the people who are qualified to vote are the ones voting, and that only their votes are going to be properly counted, and that it's only those votes and not some other votes from elsewhere that are going to be reflected in the result that's declared for that election. And of course, in view of recent things that we've seen, that the votes cast will be ascribed to the correct person for whom they were cast, rather than switched to somebody else.
Right. So what are the integrity pressure points?
Well, I think on the issue of, first of all, whether only the people who are qualified to vote are voting, is one of the main pressure points. Now, although the permanent voters card is designed to address this issue and to make sure that only people who are qualified to vote under the Constitution of Nigeria are allowed to vote, is supposed to streamline that process. But unfortunately, because we don't have synergy amongst agencies of government, and by that I mean in particular the fact that the National Population Commission is not working in harmony with INEC, we don't have the means, firstly, to make sure that the people who are registered to vote are actually of the age, which is 18 years old, they've reached the age of 18. And secondly, we don't have the means also of making sure that they are actually Nigerians who are registering to vote. So I think that's still a pressure point for the integrity of our elections. Although I will say that the days when anybody could turn up with just any old permanent voter's card and think they would be able to vote, those days, I think they're behind us. But I don't know if you've noticed, Sandra, but we keep on hearing reports of people continuing to sell their PVCs.
Yeah.
And also just, I think yesterday, people were found in possession of large wads of PVCs.
Yeah.
So although I think that the PVC is supposed to be a guarantee of the integrity, there may be something that those of us who are not thinking quite crookedly enough don't know about that.
But assuming that the PVCs work, I suppose the next pressure point is the actual voting. What role does the BVAS play in that?
Well, the bimodal voter accreditation system identifies that the holder of the PVC is the actual person registered. At least that's the theory. Now, the reason why it could be a pressure point and the role that of the BVAS in ensuring that only accredited people are allowed to vote, and making sure also that you can't just stuff a ballot box with pre-marked ballot papers. But again, we've seen references on the news that showing, and even videos showing people marking ballot papers. And although to those of us who assume that every BVAS has a polling station that it's attached to, and that only results from BVAS will be accepted into the INEC for final tally, we look at these things happening. Is this just designed to scare us, or is there actually a way in which these thumbprinted ballot papers are introduced into the final tally? So I think that it's an integrity pressure point, and in theory, it's the BVAS is designed to address that pressure point. But whether it actually does, again, is something that we still need to have checked.
Okay. Lagos, of course, you can join the conversation 0700-993-993-993. How do we know that the votes cast are the votes in the result?
Well, you know, for some time now, we've had what we call the open secret method of voting. And that means that everything except the actual marking of the ballot paper is done in the open. The ballot paper is marked in secret, but everything else, the accreditation, the delivery of the ballot paper, and then after it's been marked, the insertion of the ballot paper into the ballot box. The ballot boxes are opened in public, votes are sorted and counted in public, and then the result is supposed to be entered onto a results sheet. And there are two things that happen with those results sheets. One is that every party agent gets a copy, I call it a copy, but in law it would be called primary evidence. So every party agent gets their own results sheet that's signed by the other party agents and the INEC polling officer. That's one aspect of what happens to the results sheet. And the other aspect is that it's supposed to be uploaded to the INEC results viewing portal. That's what we call the IRES. And both those things are supposed to happen. Now, we know from the last election that although, as we're talking almost 2 weeks later, Sandra, we can say that most of the results have been uploaded to the IRES. But it's also a fact that that didn't happen on the day of the election, particularly when it came to the presidential election result.
Right.
And I do remember that as late as 10 o'clock, there was still complete, that no results had been uploaded for the presidential election to the IRES. Now, the thing about the IRES is that it's for ordinary people like you and me. And in fact, although INEC, first of all, tried to make it or to limit it to just the people who had registered and so on and so forth, they later opened it so that anybody who had access to the internet could check polling stations and see what the result was. So that's we, the public. And because the results were not uploaded on the day of the election, then we had this problem of when INEC now started getting its results from the manual collation, which it had said as long ago as August last year that it was going to do. When INEC now started saying, well, these are the results from the manual collation, we had some of the parties complaining, but what about the electronically transmitted result? And because INEC had said, well, we're going to do manual collation, they went ahead and declared the result from the manual collation. But that's where I said, I think that the political party agents have a big role to play, because they also have the sheets and they should be liaising with their party headquarters at every level, from the polling unit to the first level of collation, to the second level of collation, to the state level of collation. At every stage, a political party needs to be in contact with its agents to make sure that what they have is what is being included in the INEC total. But, because of this delay in the IRES, the parties had protested, and I appreciate really why they protested, because nobody wants to be in a situation of the result has been declared, and I mean, it's easy to say go to court and challenge it, but it's very difficult to do that after the event and to think of setting it aside. It's not impossible, but it's more difficult to do that. And I think that some of the parties who perhaps may not have heard from their agents, or who, for some other reason, wanted to wait for the electronic result, they said, look, don't declare the result until the electronic result is also in. But since the court has also said that there's no obligation on INEC to wait for that to happen, there's been a recent judgment from the court on that, and so on. It's possible that, we're still in this situation of INEC is promising again that the IRES result will be there, and we can still check it. And people have in fact been checking it and seeing all sorts of signs and wonders, if I can call it that, with regard to the IREV. But I think the main point about the IREV was that it was also designed to give us members of the public that confidence in the integrity of the process. And to that extent, when people say that INEC had failed in that promise that they had made to us, I think that they have a point, but it may not make much difference to the actual result as declared.
And yet we have at least two. Of the candidates at last month's presidential election.
I think it's expected that, and that's why you always have people and candidates generally saying, you know, don't take to the streets, we're going to take the matter to court. So the judicial process is actually part of the election process in Nigeria.
Mm.
Now, as I said, the real problem is that if you are challenging numbers, and both of the, I mean, although one of the candidates, Alhaji Atiku, has said that he's more concerned about the process, although he also says that he's won, and Mr. Obi has said that he has won. And if you're saying that you've won, then you're talking about the numbers that you're going to prove. And, you know, even though there may be other issues with regard to people being not being allowed to vote, late arrival of materials and other things that are not perfect in the voting process, you still have this... if you say that you've won, then you're talking about I won on what is already... on the votes that were cast.
Mm.
And I think that though the judicial process is there, it's very difficult when you're dealing with numbers
mm-hmm.
rather than a technical thing like, for example, whether you have to get 25% in the Federal Capital Territory and so on. So there is, it's part of the process, but if I'm on the losing side,
mm-hmm.
I can understand why people feel I would rather not have had to get there. I would rather INEC did everything that it said it was going to do,
mm-hmm.
Even though whether or not we have a legal backing for it, and the courts will decide that aspect as well. So it's a difficult process, even though it's part of our election system in the country.
Mm. Well, that's all the time we have for the day. Do you have final words before I let you go, Ayo?
Yes, as usual, I say that we all these things that happen at the back end don't necessarily concern us as listeners. Our job is, first of all, to go out and cast our vote. And we've cast our vote. If we are able, then we can stay and watch the count. And if we have access to the internet, we can, when we see the result, we can compare it with what is shown on the IREV, the INEC result viewing panel.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we shouldn't let the satisfaction with some of the things that have happened make us say it's not worth it, they can't be trusted, our votes won't be counted and so on. Let's get the votes in first and then we can quarrel about the count and everything else later.
All right. Ayobe, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks so much, Sandra.